forget not all of his benefits. He forgives all of our sins, heals all of our diseases. He lifts us out of the miry pit and shows us compassion and love. And then he gives us the desires of our hearts so that we might be renewed as the youth of an eagle. Bless the Lord, O my soul. God is truly amazing. God is good. It is once again good to be in the house of the Lord. Been worshiping all morning. And I'm loving every iota of it. Amen. Praise God. This morning, I want to direct your attention briefly to John the 16th chapter. Let me set the table. We have been working for some time now on the topic of the Holy Spirit, and we'll stay there. The Lord says the same through the duration of the year. It is the objective behind my preaching and teaching is to make sure that the people of God are informed, enlightened, educated, and inspired by the Word of God about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. We have learned in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 that Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and that he has been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. So it is we've been focusing simply on the Spirit of the Lord. And we have learned thus far from a series of lessons that the Spirit of God, number one, indwells the believer. And while indwelling the believer, according to John 14, he is there to do teaching. His second work is found in John 15. He's there to do testifying. And then finally, we learn from John 16 that he is there guiding us. So he's a teacher, a testifier, and a guide. Secondly, we learn from John 16 that the Holy Spirit is about revealing truth. Truth about God. Truth about self. And that's where we've been hanging out. We've been hanging out with self. And what we learn from John is that there is a convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've kind of parked there. Because Jesus said, if I do not go, then you cannot receive the Comforter. If I do go, I will send a Comforter. Another Comforter, another not of a different kind, but another of the same kind. And he's going to do three things, and this is vitally important, so get this. The convicting work of the Holy Spirit deals with, number one, convicting the world of sin.
That's right.
By mere virtue of the coming of Christ to this place called earth was a testimony that the world is in sin.
That's right.
You understand that?
That's right.
Jesus didn't come for the righteous. There were none here.
Say that. That's right.
He came for the unrighteous.
That's right.
The Bible teaches those that are whole need not a physician, but those who are sick.
Yes,
and he said that to the Pharisees, and they missed it because they were righteous. And he was trying to tell them, y'all the ones that are sick. Some of us miss it sometimes. We think we are the righteous ones. No, we are the sick ones. But thank God he came. He came to convict the world of sin. And then secondly, he came to convict the world of righteousness. We haven't gotten there yet. And then he came finally to convict the world of judgment. Very powerful text. Been missing it for some years, but now the Holy Spirit has brought me back. Brought me back for Vincent. To remind me that the work of the Spirit is not in condemnation, but in conviction. And so we've been convicted. When you're open to the Word of God, he'll convict you. And he does two things, remember? The way he convicts you of sin, the first thing he does is through the Word. You cannot read this book and get away with your sins. Amen. Now, if you want to get away with your sins, do what you've been doing. Don't read that book. Just leave that book alone, because that book gonna expose you. Then you might look good, you know, on Facebook. Nice little pic, change your profile. I got that.
You all right, may even look good, you know, on Instagram. You know, you may even look good in the mirror. I got that. But that ain't the real you.
That's right.
The real you, the Holy Spirit, would look all in there. How do you know? Well, Hebrews 12 and verse 4. The word of God is alive and active. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Look how sharp. It's the picture of a physician with a sharp scalpel. He can cut down, that word get down to the joints and the marrow of the bone. When that word get in there, you know, it's enough of him getting in there. But he ain't like some of them. He won't get in there and go to cutting up all the organs and leave you bleeding. He'll go right to where the issues are. And while he's there, he'll do some surgery. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Because most folk ain't going to tell you about yourself, at least publicly. They'll talk about you. They'll tweet about you. They'll twat about you. And they may even twerk about you. But they won't tell you to your face. But the word of God. You cannot read this book. Not this book. You can read Ebony and Jet and whatever else you read. But you can't read that book and not be bothered. I'm glad God let me read that book. And so he convicts you. And look how he does it. Number one, in the word. That's why David said, your word have I lodged in my heart that I might not sin. Look. Not against them, but against you. The word of God in the heart of man becomes a deterrent for sin.
That's right.
Isn't that powerful? Then the second thing, if you miss the word like most people do, he'll send a person by that.
There it is.
He'll say, listen, I showed you this in the Bible. Don't make me go back and show you again. I'm trying to help you see that he works with you with your word.
Right.
I prefer the word because it's quiet and it's just me and him.
Right.
Just something about you coming to me. Especially in the church. Everybody comes to me. Everybody wants to see the preacher in love. Why you just can't come be a Christian? I thought Christians do love. Why you got to qualify? Can we have a talk in love? No, we can't. Because I know where you're going with that. Amen. But the word of God, quietly, when you go into your GT, your God time, that's your war room. When you go in there and you meet with your father, he's going to come clean about who you are. He'll praise you, but he also help you with some stuff.
Amen.
If you won't hear that, he'll send a person.
Amen.
Amen. He'll send a Nathan or a Gad.
Amen.
And then when we get to the end of this series, I'm going to tell you what happens to the person who won't listen to the word, nor the person. God will deal with you in ways that are probably life-altering. And we'll talk about that. But right now, I want to deal with another aspect of the convicting power of the Spirit. Sunday before last, we talked about he convicts you by confronting. Y'all remember that?
Right.
See, he ain't like us.
Right.
The Spirit of God don't work like us. We want to jump on you.
Yeah.
I need to see you.
Man,
you know, I know I'm messed up, but don't roll up on me like that. Especially me. Now, you might roll up on Eric. Eric's passive and Narvi. Those are nice. Those are strong but good guys. You know, you might do that to Guido. But I have my hands in my pocket. Man, don't run up on the preacher like that. Like he's still working on me. Amen. I may not be in the Holy Ghost area I need to be. I may be thinking you coming to Jack a brother or something, you know. And because you won't listen to the Bible, I have to talk to you another way. Y'all pray for y'all preacher?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I live in your world, but I need prayer. And so he confronts you. But the second thing, this is second point of a three-point sermon. We do the third thing next week. Second thing he has to do when he confronts you, and it's loving confrontation.
Yes, sir.
Unlike us, he don't roll up on you to condemn you.
Right.
He roll up on you to confront you. But in the confronting work of the Spirit, he's got to do some correcting. Y'all got a minute? I'm really into just teaching the word. I've always been doing that because sometimes I run past a lot of stuff. Go over to Hebrews. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. I want to Y'all got a few minutes. I want to show you something. I want you to see some terms, and want you to see this picture. Now, the book of Hebrews, I won't go into detail, was written for the purposes of encouragement and exhortment, encouraging disciples and exhorting them to remain faithful. It was written possibly in the 60s A.D. Some believe maybe close to the Neronian persecution. We do know pre-destruction of Jerusalem, A.D. 70. Stuff is getting ready to go down. And he writes to Jewish Christians who are now being persecuted. And they've decided, man, this persecution, this is some serious stuff. Maybe we ought to go back to Judaism. And so, you know, this author writes, and they notice when you open up Hebrews, there is no hello, how you doing? There's no grace, mercy, and peace. He's in there. God, who at sundry times and in divers, he's in there. You know, he's speaking to us right now through his son Jesus, whom we've appointed heir of all things and by whom all things are. And then he goes right into it. Jesus is better than the angels. He's better than Moses. Better than Aaron. He's after the order of Melchizedek. And he has a much better covenant. If there's a theme for the book of Hebrews, it's things go better with Jesus. No less than 9 times does he use the word better. And he juxtaposes it up against the system that they came out of. So, Michael, don't you go back to that world. Don't go back, Mike. This is better. And I want you to talk to me. Don't go back, Vincent. This is better. But some of us don't believe it's better. How do you know you're not looking any better? You ain't acting no better. Say amen.
Amen.
When it's better, you feel better. We got a better covenant.
Yeah.
After a priest who's after the order of Melchizedek, who has gone in through the holy place one time forever to save you. I know it's better. So watch this now. Because it's better, do better. Be better. And in just in case you don't, then you got a father who will chastise you. You ever had to correct somebody? Marisha, you know everybody. Yeah, I had to tell so-and-so. Good, 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 good. I had to give her a piece of my mind, child. I just got fed up to my neck. I wonder if God says that about you and me. You know, we like correct. Don't we like correct? Something about correcting people. Especially when you're self-righteous, you just feel. And then you correct arrogantly. You didn't know that. I mean, this. Come on, man. You know, you got to. We live in a sick society where we get our ego stroked by demeaning others. And you don't have to use profanity to be derogatory. You can use good English or some Spanglish, and you can just be ugly and rude. But remember now, in your world, what goes around. I said, in your world, what goes around comes around. And so what the author does here to help those who have really been contemplating getting out of Christianity and going back into whatever they was in, he has to remind them, you are children of God.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And God loves his children.
That's right.
And whomever he loves, he got to.
Yeah.
Yeah, notice, I was getting ready to hit it.
I saw.
When I didn't know any better, I would say, he got to spank you. Nah, but see what God does.
Lord,
what God does, God comes. Comforts. Mm. He reminds you of who you are and where you are. Mm. And his comforting, what I'm finding out about his comforting, it's convicting by God to be comforting. Because it's a subtle, nice way of saying what you're in ain't right. It's kind of like when you go into the principal's office and it's really not about anything. He just want to know how you're doing in school. So he asks questions. And you've been going to school. You've been going to the classes. But he knows, because he's got your record over there. And so instead of going immediately to your record and showing you those D's and F's, He looks you in the eye and says, how you doing in school?
Yeah.
And that's like, it's like, does he know?
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
It's an uneasiness.
Yeah.
It's not designed to hurt you, but to help you.
That's good stuff.
But he's the principal. Mm. He can't make you feel good about them D's and F's. That wouldn't be a good principal.
Right.
Now, would it? And so what he has to do, he's got to comfort you and then question you. Mm. And because of his spirit, he softens your spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now you can't afford to lie.
No. Talk.
You can't afford to put on no front. You can't afford to say everything's fine. You know why? He got the record.
Wow.
Stay with me.
I'm with you.
Your daddy. Our daddy got the record. We're in the principal's office this morning. And I know you want everything to be fine. I do too. But the record, my record of faith, my record of ministry, my record of service, my record of attendance, my record of tithing and offering, my record of love, the manifestation of patience and godliness and virtues, that's the report card. God ain't got no report card of perfect. He don't keep attendance. I'm glad he don't, because we'd get F's anyhow. I mean, just thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
So he has a higher criteria for measuring us. And notice, and when you don't measure up, he doesn't pull out the gavel and slam it on the judgment bar and say, condemned, get out of my office. So what does he do? Somebody say he lets us off. I beg to differ. And that's where we've been having a theological problem in the church. You wonder why many are sick and weak and sleep? Because they have not been discerning the body of Christ. And that body there ain't just the physical body. He's talking about the church. Man, let me tell you something. When you now understand why he said in Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembly. As the manner of some is. Let me tell you something. When you deny fellowship, you're saying the system that God has provided for you is inadequate for your growth and development, so you don't want to go. I mean, that's sad.
Wow.
And when you come to the principal's office, he knows that. He knows that on any given Sunday, you would scurry out stealthily into the arms of another lover. And I wonder how he feels about that.
Jealous guy.
I wonder what he's thinking.
Yeah.
He said, man, I didn't bless Vincent. He was sick and I healed him.
Oh,
I healed his, been watching over his chilling.
Yeah.
I've been giving him stuff he don't even deserve. But then he scurries out. He don't have time. I'm gonna get to him. I'm building on the foundation. He don't have time to sit down and read my book I wrote for him. He didn't even write it. I wrote the book, gave it to him. And what's in the book is manna from heaven to fill your soul, to guard you against yourself, and to build you up. But I wonder how he feels. See, I'm in the principal's office. About now my head is down. And you know, he's heard all of my excuses. Now it's time for correction.
Yeah.
See, we love the love side of God.
Yeah, man.
Jesus loves me this I know. But there's a punitive side. There's a judgment side.
Yeah,
there's a wrath side of God. The Hebrew writer says it's a scary thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Have you ever seen him angry?
Man.
Flip back over to the Old Testament. He can get angry. Thank God for the New Testament. Praise God. Most of us, none of us would be here. Amen. Because some of you didn't talk back to your parents, you'd be gone. Amen. 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 You didn't mess up, you'd be done. No mercy. But you don't have to go all the way back to the Old Testament. Peek over into the book of Acts. There's a couple that tried to play the church shenanigans. Amen. And Peter exposed them. Sometimes God allows stuff to go on, and he may quietly deal with it. And I'm going to tell you what else I'm learning. There are times when he'll expose you and me publicly. So you'll feel the shame.
Wow.
When you won't embrace the shame of your sin, when you're in the principal's office, when you sit in the principal's office, I'm talking about Bible class and in church, and you despise the word, you won't listen to the person, then God's gotta come down. God gotta come down and he gotta correct you. Okay? Now hear me now, because some of you are gonna leave here and you're gonna keep doing that same stuff you're doing. You're gonna let this word roll off your back like water off a duck. And you'll go on. And God's trying to talk to you. He wants to meet you before he has to meet you. And so God, I say, meet me here, please. Work with me here. Don't unravel my world. Because let me tell you something. He's sovereign. Do you understand what sovereignty means? Yahweh doesn't get permission from nobody.
That's right.
He controls everything. Ask Jonah. Who was in his office? The word came, he dismissed it. People came, he dismissed it. Bought him a ticket, got his luggage, went on a cruise, and God met him. You know, God will let you pack. He'll let you leave. He'll let you buy your ticket. He'll let you get on the boat. He'll get you out there in deep water. And then he'll start messing with the wind. Listen to me. God can mess with folk on your job to mess with you. Can't nobody do to you unless God gives permission.
That's right.
And sometimes in his permissive will, he allows Satan to have his way with you.
Absolutely.
You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to correct you.
Wow.
He's trying to correct you.
Wow.
And God, he can correct you without killing you. Just ask Jonah. Jonah wanted to die. You are not going anywhere until Yahweh takes his breath back from you. Amen. You gotta know that. But see, when you ain't been in the word, you don't understand this kind of preaching. Because you're living on your turn. You see, but this may be your last curtain call. It could be mine. So trust me, I studied this for Vincent to share with you.
That's right. It's all right.
Because I've seen God.
That's a cool word, man.
I've seen God. Y'all got a minute? All right. Now I'm setting the text. I'm setting the table. Now listen to what he said. Drop down. And I'm reading from the New King. Drop down to verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Underline that word chastening. Nor be discouraged when you are what? I can't hear you. When you are rebuked by who? God can rebuke you. Are you listening? God can chastise you. That's if you are his child. Amen. Well, God never rebukes me. Don't make me give you another syllogism. Some of you intellectual people need a syllogism. If he ain't your child, if he ain't your God, then you ain't his child. But I come to church, what? And? Sonship is not dependent upon attendance. Attendance is based upon, I'm my daddy's child. Flip the script on that. See, you keep showing up, getting the blessing. I'm blessed. That's why I show up.
That's right.
But please don't miss that.
Hallelujah.
And you come to give the blessing. Now be a blessing.
Amen.
Come on.
I didn't show up today to get a blessing. I'm here because I'm blessed.
Amen.
Please don't miss that.
Yeah, wow.
Listen, I've been on the chastising side.
Yeah, man.
God can hold you down a little longer than you plan to stay. He can spiritually incarcerate you.
Yes.
And in some cases, he'll take you out to save you. I know that's a hard one. God can relieve you of living to save you from hell's damnation. Maybe that's what Jude meant about going snatch some out of the fire. Warn them that their souls are being saved. And even if you do die, he can still save you. What kind of God? See, once you become a child, you ain't in and out. This ain't in and out. Say, this ain't a burger joint. This ain't in and out. You in. How do you know? He sealed your salvation with the third person of the Godhead. So I'm secure. I know we don't like this in the Church of Christ, but he didn't save me to lose me. But I will tell you this. He'll take you out to keep you. He'll do for you what you can't do for yourself so he can save your soul, even to the point of taking your life. All right. Now listen. I won't have long. Somebody trying to cut my thing off here. All right. Let me hit the right button. I must have bumped it. I got another one of them demons in this thing here. Y'all give me a few minutes, I'll get him out. I can get him out. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Y'all see that? Now, let me give you what the contemporary English, because I don't want you to miss this. When the Lord punishes you, don't make light of it. And when he corrects you, don't be discouraged. That's the contemporary English. Now, watch this now. Look at verse 6. That's verse 1. That's verse 5. First point out of 3 points, and you won't get it all. When God corrects you, he does 3 things. Number 1, he's got to inform you first. Then number 2, he's have to instruct you. And then number 3, he'll inspire you. So when you leave the principal's office, you won't leave worse than when you came in. If your heart is open, if you're really a son. Because what he's going to do, he got to inform you. Vincent, I'm God. That's what verse 5 is about.
Yeah, man.
And I chastise my children. And if you don't like it, then you may not be one of my children. Because he's going to tell you in a minute, what father would not chastise his own child? Because he loves him. Amen. I got a whooping. I got plenty of whoopings. Yeah. And they use language like I'm going to beat you to death, but I'm still here. I said back down in Texas. Well, I'm going to beat you to death. I made it. And surely if I can handle those whoopings.
Oh,
my God is more merciful than mama was. Say amen. And I love. Now that I'm older, honestly, they tell you I'm whooping you because I love you. I'm going, man. What a great contradiction. What a strange way. And you wonder why we have abuse today. I'm just saying. Amen. Hit your son. Well, I got hit, and it didn't kill me. Then they put you in jail. Don't say that out loud. So that's verse 5. I only have time. I'm gonna lay the foundation, and we're done. Okay, I won't have time to do anything.
Right.
Now, verse 6. For whom the Lord what?
Love.
Now we love to sing. I love to pray. God loves you. The imperative in this text is teaching that because he loves you, homie, he has to chasten you. That's a sign of love. I didn't get it, but I get it now. My mother whooped me because my behavior merited it. My negative behavior merited her whooping me. Especially after she done told me back home, they don't count to 10. They tell you one time, if you don't get it done, you're done. Okay? But she did it because she loved me. Thank God she whooped me before the popo whooped me. See, I see the problem. See, I learned authority and respect because mama them chastised my behind. So when I got out into the community, it was, "High officer, would you like a donut? Would you? Do you want my donut? Do you want my donut?" And all the time, I'm being nice, looking back home, looking around, thinking they, because my mom used to tell me, "I'm everywhere." You know, parents tell you a lot of stuff when you're kids, you think, I get it now, because God is everywhere. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open. So he sees. He sees your naughtiness. Amen. 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 Here's the second point. Then I give you the third, and we'll extend the invitation. For whom the Lord loves, he what? Underline that word again. And look at this. And scourges. That's a, we don't use that word. That word was used with the flogging of Jesus. Man, that's scary. They whooped Jesus with a cat on nine tails. They would wrap leather around an object and put bone in it. Bone pieces. Sometimes rock and glass. And they'd wrap it. And when they went to hit him, they hit him. And the pain wasn't so severe, it was severe with the hitting. But once that scourge absorbed in the flesh and they pulled it out, it pulled flesh away from the bone. That's what this word means. Boy, child abuse people would be everywhere if they read something like this here. He scourges every son whom he receives. Are you his child? This is a gut check. This is a gut check. That's point two. After he informs you, verse 5, he has to instruct you. And we'll talk about the instruction has two sides. It's didactical, which is teaching. And then it moves from didactical to punitive. That means actual discipline. You know, like when you don't get it, there are consequences. You understand that? When you don't obey God, listen to me. Y'all come here, because the consequences. Now you can get away with your little stuff. We all try. You ever wonder why you stay sick sometimes? You ever wonder why stuff don't work out? I mean, let me tell you, there are three things I always do when stuff go down. Number one, I check, am I being disciplined? Is this divine discipline? Is God doing this to me? And if he is, I want to learn from it. That's information. And then secondly, is this a demonic attack? Has God given permission through his permissive will to Satan have me? And then the third thing I ask is this storm self-induced? Have I done something that has brought this upon me and my house? That stuff matters to me. Because my sins affect my family.
Yeah, they do. That's right.
Second and third generation, you better watch yourself. Living a life of faithlessness is hereditary.
That's right.
You know why I'm faithful? My daddy was faithful. He put that seed of faith in me. And I decided I'm going to be faithful. You know why I'm not late? My daddy wasn't late. He had a little place. I learned this from my daddy. He had a little place called, it was right before being on time. His concept of early, I'm glad you're listening, was to be at that space right before the time. So he was never late. Took me a while. Where are we going? Church don't start to the 9. It's 8:35. He said, "I don't want to be late." And when you're early,
yeah.
You're never late. But lateness, listen to me, I want you to hear me. I ain't playing. You plan to do that to God.
That's right.
Don't tell me about being no early person. I need my coffee. Now that's carnality. What you need is a whooping.
Yeah.
And God gonna give you one. Listen, some of you are playing with him. So you, the popo gonna put you in jail. All right? We're gonna give you some information so you won't go to jail. Okay, I'm the bail bondsman this morning, amen.
Right.
And this thing is free.
Free.
Okay, I'm trying to keep you out so you ain't got to go hawk the house. Amen. You ain't got to go take grandmama's jewelry. Say amen, somebody, to get you out. Are you listening? All right, that's point two. I can't preach that right there. And then finally, third point, verse 7. If you endure, underline that word again, chastening. God deals with you as sons. Look. But what son is there whom a father does not chasten? We've already dealt with that. That's a question now. But if you are without, listen, because you're talking about everybody hard on it. People, illegal immigrants, you probably illegitimate yourself. Let me get close to you because you know I ain't scared. See, we know who ain't supposed to be here. Amen. Across the border. Some of you didn't got in here illegally. How do you know? You can't handle his chastising. You run from chastisement. And therefore, I don't have time. But if I was reading Sister Hawkins' Bible, there's a word for you.
Yeah.
In her Bible.
I read it.
But I'm not going to say that in here because it's not polite. But it's in the Bible. Maybe I should say it. The Holy Spirit didn't want me to say it. Maybe he shouldn't have put it in there. But he put it in there. But I won't say it. Starts with a B and ends with a D. All right, let me finish this here. Yeah, because we seem to know who's legal and who's not. Look what the Bible says. Y'all with me? Look at verse number 8. For if you are without chastening, underline that word again. I'm telling you, no less than 9 times, of which all have become partakers, then you are what? Yeah, that's in your version. Let me get the King James, because it makes sense. You know, you listen to this junk every day. So you know about profanity. So because I won't do that. I'm not going to do that. How many of you got King James Bible? Authorized 1611. Raise your hand. Spell that word. I say no more. You know. I usually have a little exercise where I have you look at each other and call each other what that Bible says you are. But I'm not gonna do that. That's not PC. That's not preacher correct. So I won't do that. But you get my point. This is strong language by the Holy Spirit about people who act like they ain't God's children. You are illegitimate. Even deeper, you don't even got no parents. And even deeper still, Satan's your daddy. I quit. Some texts bother you? And this thing grabbed me, made me check my own relationship with God. He says, then you are illegitimate. You're an illegal alien. You here without papers. I'm finna go political. You come across the border. You done brought your chilling into the church. Now we got to fund you and your chilling. Pay for your deficiencies. And then you have the right to stand up and say, where are my rights? And you don't have any rights. You're not even a son of God. Because if you were, you would appreciate the chastening hand of God. But remember, I know what you told me. Don't nobody tell me what to do. You are that word in that Bible you just read. You just spelled out. That's who you really are. I know what they say. I know you got a nice little picture on Facebook and Instagram, but you know who you really are? There it is. Right there. Well, that's the outline. I didn't even have time to get to my sermon. I apologize.
Are you all right?
But I want you to understand where we're headed. And listen now. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Man, I'd rather have him work on me here around folk who need help like me than to mess with the wind and the wave. You know, when he got through with Jonah, I mean, and Jonah's decision affected everybody on the boat. Yeah. Do you not know? And Jonah knew it was him. Yeah. The folk on the boat said, man, holler at your God. Well, I did, and the reason we have this problem because I'm on here. Listen, and it speaks to even the pagan folk had mercy on it. Yeah. But you tell me you messing up the church, we throwing you out of here. Just get out. But they said, well, we'll tell you what we're going to do. Look, I'm getting ready to cool. We're going to throw the cargo over. Yeah. That ship was bound by insurance to deliver the cargo.
That's deep.
You just don't throw other people's property overboard and expect not to be held accountable for that?
Yeah.
And they was doing that for Jonah, hoping that the ship, hoping that my life, hoping that my house, hoping that it would work itself out. And what they forgot is that Yahweh spoke to the wind, spoke to the wave, and hollered at a fish. My son missed the word, and he missed the person, so I'll bring a fish. A fish. Looks like they threw that jug overboard. And a fish captured him. I call it spiritual incarceration. Took him 2,000 leagues under the sea. How in the world, what kind of God is this? He wanted to drown, but he couldn't. Because the hand of God, I'd have been thankful. God, thank you for the fish. The ad out here is great. I got seaweed bottom of my neck, but we ain't complaining. I ain't dead. Say amen. Sometimes you got to appreciate the discipline of God.
Yes, amen.
You know this now. And because you get religious, because you're hurting, that don't please God. God, listen. God, you know how many religious, desperate prayers Yahweh didn't hear? God, if you just let me out, if I can just get this job, I'm going to worship everything. You're lying. And you that word in that text because you don't have a relationship with God. Are you listening? So the first night he didn't let him out. You know why he didn't let him out? He didn't get it. He didn't understand how he got in there. About that second night, I imagine 2,000 leagues under the sea, doing like this here, and fish was probably happy, got me a fresh piece of meat. He was just waiting there for him. He's probably down in the bottom, flipping. And Jonah probably seasick sitting in there. Second day, Jonah started praying. But his prayer was different from the first prayer he prayed. The first prayer he prayed, I ain't going. I'm my own man. I ain't going preaching no Assyrians. They are enemies. God is not interested in your feelings,
right,
nor your thoughts. He's interested in obedience. So he didn't let him out the second night. He could have let him out. You know, God can let you out of what you're in, but you ain't ready to come out. When you come out, you do like David. After the child died, you head to the house of God. David fasted for that boy. You know, God, you don't believe my preaching. Who took that baby's life? Who killed David and Bathsheba's first son? Why y'all whispering? That's in your Bible. That's in your, God did it. And who among us gonna question Yahweh? I got some questions. You and I can talk about them in Bible class. But I ain't running up on God. Even when it looks wrong, he's right. Because he's God. That's his judgment. Those things are there for our learning. Took that baby. Yes, David. Why were you fasting while the baby was sick? You know what David said? He said, I was hoping maybe God would have mercy not on me, not on Bathsheba, but on the child. The child is innocent. Our children are innocent. But we give them our junk. We put them in a bad way, and we don't get it. Because we're too smart. We know everything. When David learned of the news and he heard him whispering, book said he got up, washed his face, cleaned up, and went into the house of God. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
I'm done. If you're here this morning, wherever you are in life, trust me, it's no accident. God is sovereign. He deals with rebellion. He deals with our unrighteousness. And I'm going to tell you something. God spanked me before you have to hurt me.
Yeah.
and before others hurt me. I want to listen to your chastisement. He loves you. That's why he uses me, and he uses your teachers, and he uses people to help us. God actually loves us. That's mind-boggling. How do you continue to love rebellious people? But you're going to see by the end of the year, judgment is coming. If you don't believe me, Peter says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. Then he gave three examples: the destruction of the world, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the destruction of the anger. God's promises are right. If you're here this morning, if you're feeling disciplined, accept it. But understand, first of all, how you got there. And we don't want that part. So that's the information. How did we get to where we are? And then number two, for wherever you are, is some correction. So I like God. God will give you the information, and then he'll give you the instructions. And then afterward, he'll inspire you. Because when you get to the last part of this little text, he says, therefore, act like a man and get up off your knees.
That's right.
In other words, cowboy up and get on back out there. You still my boy. Now get out of my office. Yeah. He don't say it like that, but he don't say it quite like that, but he, that's his way of saying, come on. So if you're here, on your feet.
Right.
Come to Jesus. That's all we have to offer. Come to him right now. If you're going through, ask some serious questions. Is this by your permissive will that I'm being disciplined? What have I done? Or is this a demonic attack? Or have I brought this upon myself? That's correction. Because you've been praying, but you keep on doing the same stuff. Prayer can't help you. Prayer don't work with misdirection. Amen.
Amen.
You know, you're praying, but you ain't making the correction. There's some things God can't do for you. He didn't already gave you instructions. He got the word and people. And if you miss them, then you got to deal with where you are. I'm learning that. If you're here, I know this has been a tough sermon. I didn't mean to be. I'm not mad.
Word.
It's just, you know, when you're in that word, man. You know, Spirit, you know, I'd love to preach a little Jesus love me sermon, but them ain't working either. So I think I'd better go in and get some of this meat out this text. Amen. The discipline of the Lord. If you're here, you need to respond.